I've asked the Lord for a while to give me another series. It's been, I think, at least a year. And so we are beginning a series today for a few weeks, maybe a little longer, but at least 3 weeks. And this is going to be a strange title, but you'll understand it in a moment. The Faucet of God. The Faucet of God, as in the faucet where you turn on the garden hose. The Faucet of God. And it's really a message about how each one of us, and a series about how each one of us are to minister. Each one of us is called to be servants of God, not to be spectators in the church, but to be ministers of the Lord. And we're called to minister to one another first and then to the world outside of us. So this series will be developing thoughts and principles and understanding concerning how do I walk in the ministry that God has for me? How do I become what God wants me to be? And so we're going to begin by setting the stage this morning, and we're going to end a little different today, so be prepared. Don't be thrown off guard, so you need to just be ready and willing to do whatever the Lord desires for you to do today. So what is ministry? First thing that we will talk about, what is ministry and why this topic at this time? Why has the Lord led me to this at this time? Just give you a couple of definitions this morning. They're not complete, but they will begin to give us a springboard from which to move forward. Ministry is serving. Very simply, it can be translated that way in the New Testament. Ministry is serving. Ministry is service. But that covers a huge spectrum. I want you to, we'll get to the scripture in a moment, but I want you to think with me. If you remember in the book of Acts, Philip was a believer in the church, and he was desiring to serve the Lord. In the book of Acts, when the apostles are overwhelmed because there was so much ministry taking place, and they were beginning to feed the widows. They had a daily feeding of the widows, and there was much that was required in order to wait tables and to do the service to the widows there. And that is a form of ministry. Serving is ministry. And so they decided, they prayed and they said, Lord, what should we do? And they appointed deacons. They called them servants. They appointed deacons, and the deacons were to serve tables and help in the distribution of food for the widows so that the apostles could give themselves to the ministry of prayer and the word. But there's an interesting thing that develops in the book of Acts, is that the one who begins as a servant waiting tables. See, ministry is not limited to one thing.
Amen.
The one, Philip, who is one of a number, Philip, who was waiting tables the first time we see him, later, we see him down in Samaria. The Lord has led him to go there to preach the gospel to those who've not heard. And everywhere he goes, signs and wonders are happening. He's laying hands on people and the sick are being healed. That's ministry. He's praying for people and demons are being cast out. That's ministry. But beloved, ministry was serving the tables as well. We find in the book of Corinthians, we won't turn there today, but in 1 Corinthians, which we'll come to later, ministry is a number of things there as well. And you have the gift of helps, as well as the gift of speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues and all these different things. But you have a simple gift called the gift of helps, equally important in the body of Christ. So each one is called to minister in the gifting to which God has led them and what he has given them. So ministry is serving. And we see Philip as a great example. We also see that ministry is the outflow of the Holy Spirit through you. Ministry is the outflow, and this is going to lead us in a moment to our title. Ministry is the outflow because you're a conduit. You're a conduit for what the Lord wants to do. He wants to pour himself through you to touch other people's lives. And so ministry is the outflow of the Holy Spirit. Listen for just a moment, because this is so important, because it is so misunderstood. Ministry is not a title or a position. Ministry is not a title or a position, so do not confuse that. If I am a minister, it is not because I have some title or I have some position. It is because I serve in a specific area in response to the calling of God. It is a calling, and it is service. And we will find that even though we are called and we have areas of service, those areas carry different degrees of authority. But understand for just a moment, if there is authority attached to an area of service, it is only because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is upon that person that is, and I'm just going to use everyday words, backing up that calling. The Holy Spirit will back up that person, will have their back, and will give them what they need in order to minister in the calling and the authority to which God has called them. But it's not a title, it's not a position. It is a response. It's a response to a calling from the Lord. If you remember in the New Testament, we have in the book of Ephesians, you've heard of it, the fivefold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Those are not really called, they're not really titles. They're not really positions, even though it sort of becomes that, but that's not what it actually is. It's a calling. And it's an area of service. It's because God anointed and called some to be apostles. And it has to do with the function. What is their function as an apostle? What is the function of a teacher? It's not to have a title, it's to function in the gift which God has given to the person. It's a calling and an area of service within the church. We're going to see that every member of Christ's body has a calling to minister. You've heard me say it many times. It's nothing new. But how do we, the thing is, many times we're just dumbfounded as to how do we flow in that? How do we move into that as a church? How do we open up what the Lord wants to do in us? And again, in a moment, we will see, why is it important that I would bring this up today? What is it that God wants to do in your life? What is it that He wants to do through you in order to be a blessing to other people? We often think not only about positions when we think of ministry, but we think of areas of ministry that become programs and traditions that are entrenched. In other words, and I'll just use an example. We might have an outreach, a highly organized and even effective outreach that a church does, and it becomes a tradition. It's done year after year at the same time, on the same date. It's something that everyone sort of falls into their roles. I am not saying that the Lord cannot work in that, and I'm not saying that that cannot be effective, but I want you to listen to this for just a moment. Outreach in the early church was not a program, and it was not a religious tradition. Outreach in the church is the result of spontaneous obedience.
Amen.
Spontaneous obedience in response to needs that are revealed by the Holy Spirit. It is spontaneous response that you give of yourself where God reveals by His Holy Spirit that there's a need. And the Lord is in that. If the hearts are pure, yes, He may be in the more traditional outreach because it may be the best that someone knows how to do. But I'm saying there's a higher place and there's a higher way. And that is when a church and when individuals are functioning in the leading of, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they get outside of themselves and they begin to see the needs of others, and the Holy Spirit begins to whisper, go here, go there, do this, do that, and you respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and it becomes an avenue of service and an avenue of ministry. Now, you this morning, you may say, well, I've been a Christian for years. I don't feel used by God. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't think there's anything more frustrating for the average Christian than to be able to make that statement. I've been a Christian for years. I don't know where I fit in. I don't feel like I'm used by God, and I don't know what my giftings are. I don't know what I should be doing. I'm a spectator in the church. God has never called for church to be a place for spectators.
Amen.
It is a place where everyone finds their place. It's a place where everyone gives of themselves, where everyone is needed, where everyone is wanted, and where the Lord uses each person in their own special way to serve Him by serving others. You say, where do I fit in? The response to that, the answer to this for each one of you is not through reasoning. It's not through trying to figure out, well, what am I good at? It's not through just hunting a need and saying, how can I fill that need? But the response or the answer as to how to get there has to do with a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. A deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit and an obedient response. Being willing to obey what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. You are the faucet of God. You are the faucet of God. Turn with me to John chapter 7. You all know this verse. John chapter 7. Verse 37 through 39. We're going to turn to about three scriptures today. So this is the first one. John 7. 37 through 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me. Now, I'm just going to break it down quickly. We're not going to stay on this long, but if you believe in him, you're going to respond to him and go to him to drink. It's not just talking about someone who says, oh, I believe. It's talking about the person who thirsts to know God, who thirsts to walk with God. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, another scripture will say out of his innermost being. King James says out of his belly. It means out of the very depths of the innermost being of a man, that's from his spirit. Out of his spirit will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now we know Jesus has been glorified.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit has been given at Pentecost.
Yes.
And we have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Who dwells within us, within our spirit, within the spirit of man. We have the Holy Spirit, but then there is a question about how do I let the Holy Spirit flow through me? How do I be a faucet? How am I to be this conduit that God has called me to be? Your spirit is a container and a conduit. Each one of you has a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body, and you know that. But your spirit is a container and a conduit. It is a container because, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, we were created to contain God. To contain God. More than anything else, more than good works, more than ministry, more than anything else, we are created to be a container for God. That the Spirit of God would live within us and go with us. And that we would know Him in the inner man. Your spirit is a container, but it is also a conduit. And so, as a conduit, it's like when you turn on the garden hose, and it is an apparatus to funnel that water that's coming from the water supply and to carry it to the place that it's needed. You are a conduit. Inside of these walls, there's conduit pipe in which electricity moves, flows through those wires that are within the conduit. You are a conduit for the power of God. You are a conduit for the Holy Spirit to move. You're a conduit that God's love might flow through you. You're a conduit. You're a faucet for God. But the question comes down to turning the faucet. I have four faucets in this yard. Wish I had one or two more. It's never quite enough. I have four faucets in this yard. And I have water supply that comes into this property from somewhere else. So the water's there. At every one of those faucets right behind the valve, there's water under pressure. But until I turn the faucet, until I turn the handle and the valve is opened, that faucet is of no use to me. It moves nothing, it waters nothing, it supplies nothing. Jesus said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But how do you turn the faucet? That's what we're going to be seeing in the weeks ahead. How do you turn the faucet on? How do you know where the water is needed? How do you know where the water goes? How do you know how much water is needed in a given situation? Remember this when we look at the natural in our yard. Where the water goes, life grows. Where the water goes, life grows. And it's the same thing with you and I. Where the water of the Holy Spirit flows, we will be a conduit of life to other people. Why this message? Why this series? Why now? As individuals, number one, God wants us to grow. It would be appropriate at any time. God wants us to grow as disciples. He wants us to grow how to walk with Him and how to serve Him, how to walk in ministry. But as a church, this is so important this morning. As a church, we are transitioning. We are transitioning. We're in a time of transition. And I believe that what we're going to look at in the next few weeks is critical for this time. I want to ask you just a question. You don't have to answer it out loud. Those especially who have been here, don't you think it's rather amazing, with no credit to us, but don't you think it's rather amazing that for almost 20 years, God has been preparing this church contrary to what many others are doing? There are others. We're not alone. But don't you think it's rather amazing that for almost 20 years, we have looked at the possibility of persecution, we have looked at judgment upon America, and we have looked at the need to be house churches. The need to be able to function as home churches, home groups. And for those of you who have been around, you might kind of laugh when you think about this and when you remember it. How many times, and there was a reason for it, and I believe we were right to do it, and God used it. But how many times have we attempted it as part of our preparation, and we know how to do it, but it was awkward. And it just didn't feel right. And people really weren't thrilled with it. Isn't it amazing that after almost 20 years, that when the time of need came, and it was what God has told us about for years, that as we moved into this, the majority of the church, the main group in the church, has said, this is fine, this is perfect, I wouldn't even go back the other way. That this is a blessing. There's a freedom in a house church. There's an ability to fellowship and to be close to one another in a home church. And there's a simplicity. God has been taking us. Do you know some of you, let me say most of you, were not here at the very, very beginning. But there was a time when we had praise team with 10 people with multiple instruments. There were times when we had multiple services, so much every week. It's kind of funny. This is just the way we are as people and as sheep. Is that, you know, when we had services all the time, no one was thrilled with that. It was like, oh, we're just church to death. And then when of necessity for a season we have church once a week in the morning on Sunday morning, then it's not enough. And so the Lord, of course, the Lord's going to be, I said this is a time of transition. And God is going to be showing us where do we go and how do we expand? How do we do more? How do we do what He's called us to do in the new wineskin? You remember the wineskin? Jesus said that in order to have new wine, you have to have new wineskins. He spoke, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago as well, He's speaking to the Jewish religious system, which was legalism. And He was saying, that wineskin can't contain that wine. It'll burst. It's brittle. It will break. It's old. It can't contain the new wine that I'm going to bring. And so he had to prepare a people who could receive grace and who could receive freedom from tradition, freedom from legalism, freedom from all of the religious activity of the past, and be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to be conduits of the Lord. And so there was a new wineskin. God is, every season, God is preparing a new wineskin.
Amen.
Every season, God is preparing us for something new. This series is preparation for a new season. Preparation for where we are going and what we are entering into. There are those who would consider where we are today failure. We used to be bigger. We used to have more. We used to do this. We used to do that. And I'm just going to be very blunt and say that is lack of spiritual eyesight. Lack of the ability to see spiritually. Because obedience to God is the measure of success. And God's leading and where He takes us, if we follow Him, that is the measure of success.
Amen.
And I can tell you this morning, and it's not to try to justify or make excuses or anything else, I feel more successful, if you want to use a worldly word, than I ever have in my life. Because God is in control. It's His church. And He has not forsaken us. And we have heard His voice. Do you realize even though the thought of persecution or all of those things may be uncomfortable, and somebody say, gosh, that's, Pastor, that's kind of extreme. Do you realize that when we have seen things in the last year coming to pass, that there is a comfort in knowing we heard God. We heard God. We didn't just make up something and we didn't try to be gloom and doom and to scare people. We heard God and God's with us. God's hand is upon us. And now we have to begin to look and think, what of the future? What is the new wineskin and what is the new season? Lord, what do you want to do?
Amen.
In the weeks and the months ahead, we have to look ahead. And we have to see how He wants to use us, where you fit in, what is your place, what is your purpose, each one of you, as the people of God. It is, again, as I said, a time of transition. You can have a multitude of services and a multitude of programs, and you can have a multitude of buildings and still not be prepared for where God is wanting to take you. It's amazing to me how God has funneled us in this direction. In His timing, this has come to pass. He has prepared us and now He wants us to prepare for the season ahead. So we will be looking at personal ministry, ministry within the church meeting, ministry in a service, as well as ministry outside to the lost, ministry of the word, ministry of worship and praise, ministry of the wounded and ministry to the wounded, ministry to the Lord, ministry to others, and how God wants to use you. In the remainder of the time today, I want to turn to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to also briefly go in the middle of it to Psalm 1 for just a couple of verses. So I want you to turn to Romans 12 where you can keep your place there. And then we'll go to Psalm 1 and come back to Romans 12. And we're just going to take a few verses at a time. This is not going to be an in-depth study of this passage because we will probably come back to it more than once. I just want to highlight some things. In verses 1 through 3, we read these words, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Service. Say, service is ministry.
Service is ministry.
And ministry is service.
And ministry is service.
And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In these three verses, this whole chapter is about ministry. It's about service. Ministry begins with surrender. It would be useless to talk about being used by God if you're going to fight, kick, and scream against surrendering yourself to the Lord. I'm speaking to believers, and I'm speaking to believers that I believe want to more fully yield themselves to the Lord day by day and to follow Him. But it begins by the laying down of yourself. It says to present your body, and then it talks about your mind. Remember I said you are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. When you're born again, it's because you presented yourself to God and your spirit was reborn. He came into your spirit. But you must also present your soul and your body. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so it speaks of these things, presenting your bodies. Jesus is our example. In all of the ministry that He came and that He worked out for us on the cross of Calvary, it was by daily yielding Himself completely to the Lord. He always walked in the will of the Father. When you come to Gethsemane, you see Him struggling. He's laying down His very life beginning there. He's presenting His body as a living sacrifice. Blood begins to flow, even in the Garden of Gethsemane. But He yields it. He gives it. Whatever the next step is for you that God says, will you yield this to me? Then that is the yielding of yourself and of your body. I give myself entirely to you, Lord. And then it speaks of the transforming of your mind. That's because you surrender your mind through the renewing of it in the Word of God so that your thoughts change. I can't spend long here, but let me just say very quickly, you cannot follow God. You can't know God if you're not willing to let your patterns of thinking be changed by the Word of God. Amen. You let the Word wash you of old patterns of thinking, and you let the Word of God put the thoughts of God within you. If you're thinking like the world, you're going to be a miserable Christian. But if you're thinking the thoughts of God, He's going to keep you in check. He's going to give you insight and wisdom, and He's going to bring you into a place where you can be used by the Lord. Present your entire self to the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 1, but be ready to come back to Romans 12. Psalm 1, in verses 2 and 3, is talking about the man who is blessed by God. And I want you just to see if you see yourself this morning as we begin this series. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now granted, the law of God, when we read it in this context, means all the Word of God. Because every word that God speaks is His law. It's all true. It cannot be changed. And so it is the law of God. Is your delight in the law of God? You must come to a place where you understand that the Word of God is not it's not a bunch of writings that are going to conform your behavior. It is the very living, breathing Word of God. It is supernatural. And without you doing anything in your own strength, it will change your behavior all by itself if you yield to it. It is supernatural. It is filled with power. So the Word of God must be your delight, your love. He shall be, here is the result, and it comes back to ministry. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. We are entering into a new season. You're entering into a new season. This nation is not going to be the same nation you knew. We're entering into a new season, and I'm saying that regardless of what happens with our government in the next month or so, it's still changed.
Yes.
It's still changed, and it's not going to change back.
That's right.
And there are forces at work that are going to fight against you as a Christian. You need to realize that. But you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. bringing forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That is the fruit of ministry, the fruit of service to God. And the Lord wants you to experience that in your life. If you will look back in chapter 12 of Romans, verses 3 through 5, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Remember that. "But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Remember that. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." I'm going to stop right there in mid-sentence in verses 3 through 5 there. I want you to see these things. Ministry is not in isolation. You're not a lone ranger. Ministry takes place because you're part of the body of Christ. It begins in the body and then it flows outward to those on the outside. You can't say, "Well, I'm a minister of Christ, but I really don't want anything to do with the church or his body. I just really like ministering to people out there." Ministry begins in the house of God and then it flows outward to those around. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. And it says that we have differing members. In other words, each one of you, each member of the body has a different function. Every faucet in my house really has a different function. It waters a different area. One on the back side is used for cleaning things and for washing off the patio and putting water in the pool, as well as watering plants. One in the front is for things in the front area. Every faucet has a different function, but there's the same water supply flowing through all of them. You are all faucets of the Lord. One water supply, but many different functions. And walking in your area of anointing is how we, as we begin to see how the grace of God gives us this gifting, gives us the abilities by the Holy Spirit, and His love and His power flows through us by grace. It's not earned. Some gifts are in common to all. In other words, we're all called to love. We're all called to minister the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
We're all called to pour forth that water. Some people are called in the gift of helps. Some are called to speak more of the Word of God. Some are called to pray for others. Some are called. Every different person will begin to discover the area that God is leading them and using them. Don't try to mix your anointing.
Amen.
Don't say, "Oh, I don't like the gift of helps," when that is how God has used you the most and you think it's a lesser gift. I don't like the gift of helps. I don't like just helping by loading things in cars and be helpful to people. I want to be a teacher. If you're not anointed to be a teacher, it's not going to work.
No.
And the Lord says that a person's gifts will make room for themselves. In other words, if God has gifted you in a certain way, it is going to over time become evident, and it will in itself will make room. You won't have to force it. You won't have to say, "Well, why didn't the pastor use me in this way?" Because if it's evident, you will be used by the Lord. Ministry requires this giftedness that comes by grace from the Lord. Ministry involves choice. It says, "Let us use these gifts." You can choose to withhold them, and then you're like the Red Sea, or the Dead Sea, which is stagnant water, because it has no outlet. God designed you to be an outlet for the water of grace that He wants to pour through you. You can either respond or not, but it is to your own dying, spiritual dying. It's just decay when you have such giftings. Let me tell you something. I'm just going to be honest and real with you on this. I see people all the time in this church that have so much to offer, but they're so wrapped up in self that they never, and they're many times they're wrapped up in whether someone's doing something for them when God's given them so much to give to other people. This applies to many of you. God has gifted you. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians, by now you all should be teachers. And it's basically true of Faith Harvest as well. By now you should all be able to minister in one form or another. But we live our lives self-centered. We live our lives just thinking about so many other things, distracted from surrendering ourselves to the will of God to be used by Him. Sometimes we're just too busy wondering about what other people will think rather than just being an agent of love, an agent of the Lord. This is foundational, what I want to share now. In verses 6 through 8, I want to read, go back to verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, and it's going to name a number of things here, and we're going to read them, but it's going to say the same thing about all of them. If prophecy, then prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us, and that's service or gift of helps, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching, use what? Our faith. He who exhorts, that's encouraging. Those who are encouragers in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Beloved, you know many times that you have an area of giftedness. That doesn't mean that you have an aura around you and it just flows out automatically. You have an area of giftedness. It doesn't just come. Sometimes you have good days. Sometimes you have bad days. Sometimes you don't feel like it. But beloved, the faucet handle has to be turned. And how is it turned? I'm going to explain this. It is turned by faith. First of all, by faith. This is key, this is foundational to everything that we're going to be looking at. The faucet is turned by faith. It's not turned by how you feel today. It's not turned by whether you think you blew it yesterday, so I can't flow today. It's not turned by feeling unworthy. It's not turned or stopped from being turned by any of these things. It is through faith. If you're going to minister, Paul says, do it by faith. If you're going to prophesy by faith. If you're going to speak a word of encouragement, do it by faith. You have to take a step of faith, and God will meet you there. I'm just going to give you an example. My calling is to preach the word. My calling is to preach the word. It may come as a shock to you that some days I don't want to do it. It may come as a shock to you that some weeks, that's the end of the week, and I'm like, I don't know what on earth God's saying. I don't know what I'm going to do. Or it may come the end of the week, and I'm like, I haven't been in the Word hardly any, and it's been a bad week, and I just, I'm not fit to be your servant, Lord. But His callings are irrevocable. Amen. But if I'm going to preach, I have to get past that, and even as I do this, many times I say to myself, Lord, I say to the Lord, and I encourage myself, Lord, I feel all of these things, but I know that if I follow your word and I preach by faith, if I plan, you'll give me a message by faith between now and Sunday morning. Even if it's when I stand up there, you give me a word for your people, if I believe you will. And Lord, I'm going to preach by faith because this I do know, I want to glorify you and I want to honor you. And so I will preach. If it's nothing else but to stand up and glorify Jesus and tell of the wondrous things that He's done. Lord, I'll glorify you. It's all by faith. It's by faith. I would suggest that in the week ahead, this is a shorter message because we're going to do something. In the week ahead, some of you have taken notes. You can go back and you'll be able to get this on the internet. I would suggest that you take these points, and you can read further there in this chapter, but just these points that I've just outlined, that ministry is to others. You're not alone. You're called to a body of believers. That ministry is because of grace that comes from the Lord. That ministry involves choice, that you've got to choose, that you want to be a blessing to other people. And I didn't say this, but it talks about considering others better than yourself and not thinking too highly of your own self. That we consider every person in this body very valuable.
Amen.
Very valuable.
Amen.
Doesn't matter whether you like them or not. Doesn't matter whether they irritate you or not. We are all living stones, and sometimes as God's fitting those stones together, it's like sandpaper. It's rough. But the oil of the Holy Spirit causes it to fit right in place. And you minister by faith. And you begin to speak to the Lord this week. Study. Begin to prepare yourself. How does God want to use me? God, what are the things that you... How have you gifted me? What are the inclinations of my heart? When I see a need, how do you use me? How do you want to use me? And begin... I want you to begin to see yourself. And I'm not talking about some New Age visualization. But I want you to begin to see yourself ministering to other people in this body. I want you to begin to see yourself being able to encourage one another and strengthen each other in the Lord, because it's going to be needed.
Amen.
I want you to begin to see yourself being a conduit. Lord, how do I turn that faucet? You turn it by faith. But you must be in the Word. You must let Him transform your mind. You must be desiring to be used by Him, and you have to get outside of yourself and see others as valuable. We're going to be looking at a lot of things related to this in the weeks ahead. This morning, I want you to just stay where you are for a moment, and I want Paul, where is Paul? Where is your communion stuff, your elements? Up here? Those who are watching by live stream, we're going to have a time of ministry, and so we're going to close out the live stream. But I pray that you will begin to look at how you can be used in the body, and that you'll tune in the weeks ahead and grow in this area of your life. So we'll go ahead and close that out.